It's not for me to eat, that's for sure. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, Gospel of John chapter 3. So good to be with you. We encourage you to get involved this week in a small group or an opportunity to go have coffee with somebody and connect with someone in the congregation and make some connections. We are blessed to have you be with us today
as we worship together. Hello, there we are. And if you don't have a small group that you're involved in, you're welcome to attend today at the Oasis at 5 o'clock. We're studying the book of Hebrews in that class if you don't want to come to that. Love to have you. So yes, as Dave brought out very clearly, the story of Nicodemus, this beautiful
narrative we can just do this one and I'll stay here.
We're good? So Nicodemus is on the Jewish council. He's a bigwig in the Jewish movement. He is a pretty powerful person. He hangs out with pretty powerful people in the Jewish community. He's a wise theologian. He would know the Torah. He would have studied the Torah. He is an authority on the Hebrew scriptures. And it's interesting that we see Nicodemus come to see Jesus early in Jesus' ministry. So this is early in the ministry of Jesus. But already, word is starting to get around that this rabbi Jesus, this Jewish rabbi, he's doing some pretty cool stuff. He's doing some miracles. There's some things happening that just doesn't seem like an average guy would be doing these things. And so let's read in John chapter 3 what happens with Nicodemus. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. And he said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." So the first thing Jesus hears Nicodemus say to him is, "I think and we think." He says the word "we," so apparently Nicodemus, have you ever been kind of scared to go ask somebody something so you send a friend, right? And so it seems like Nicodemus has some other friends in this circle he runs with who are curious about Jesus and what is Jesus really about and what's going on with Jesus. Because he says, "We can see that you are a great rabbi, that you must be from God because of the signs that you're doing." But notice that the first thing Jesus hears from Nicodemus is his concern and his preoccupation with external things. It's about external things. It's about things that are happening on the outside of people, on the outside of our bodies. He's seeing these miracles, and because he sees really cool stuff happening outside, he's all preoccupied with, maybe since he can do cool outside stuff, then maybe he's from God. And you know, I think we can all understand Nicodemus, because, you know, I can't see inside of you to know what's happening inside of you, right? I don't always know what's happening inside of your motive. I can't always understand what's happening inside of your heart. I can't understand, really, for me to know what's happening inside of you, I have to ask you what's happening inside of you, right? Well, remember that Jesus hears Nicodemus say these things, and he does not return, as Dave said, he doesn't return this man's statement as a statement of faith. He doesn't say, "Oh, how great is your faith." Because Nicodemus doesn't really get Jesus yet. Now, the cool thing is we already know the end of the story. And Nicodemus is one of the people who helps to make sure Jesus is buried, and he is very involved in the preparation of his body after his death. So we know that Nicodemus continues to be curious and to follow Jesus and to kind of show interest in Jesus. And ultimately, it's very possible he became a full-fledged disciple of Jesus. We just can't know for sure how that all worked out. But what we do know is that the beginning of the story, Nicodemus says, "I see some cool stuff happening outside, and that's what I'm judging about you. Because you did something really cool on the outside." In other words, it's like me saying, "Well, you know, I saw you help feed the homeless. And since I saw you help feed the homeless, then I know and I'm confident that you must be from God, right? Well, that's pretty cool, right? If someone serves the poor, that should be evidence that they're from God, right? But how do you really know if someone is inspired by God? How do you know that? You really don't. It could be that they're showing up on a Wednesday night to feed the homeless because their wife told them if they didn't, they were going to be in timeout for a week, right? We don't know the heart, because the heart of the matter is the heart of the matter. External behavior can be a beautiful thing, and it can be from God. But Jesus hears Nicodemus say, I think I know you're from God because of something you did on the outside of you. That doesn't mean he understands that God is in him. See, there's a big difference in believing that Jesus was a great rabbi who taught really cool stuff and did some cool things with people. It's another thing to believe that Jesus was God in the flesh, that his inside was far more big and powerful and divine than even what you saw him do externally. But as people, it's really hard for us not to judge each other by externals, right? It's really hard. And so we tend to say, oh, well, like what church would I go to? Well, I would want to go to a church that does things the right way, right? And of course we would all want to do that. What's the Bible say about what Christians do? And let's do what the Bible says Christians do. And that's really important. But is there something more important? Jesus seems to think there is. Because even though Nicodemus is coming to him and interested in him and believes God's doing something cool with him, Jesus is not satisfied with Nicodemus's external view of spirituality and faith. Okay? Because there's a reason he didn't say, well done, good and faithful servant. Your faith has made you well. He doesn't say that. Jesus says, he says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no person can do the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And then Jesus said in verse 3, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, there are other people in other scriptures that go to Jesus and say, what's the kingdom of God? How do I get in the kingdom of God? Well, Nicodemus didn't ask that question. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, hey, I think you're in. I think you must be from God. In other words, I think you're on the good side. You know, I'm kind of thinking maybe I'll let you be one of these people. I'm going to agree with you. You get to go to my party. You get to hang out at my house. I think maybe you're in the good section, right? Because see, our humanity, our fear brain, our survival nature is constantly saying, are you safe or are you dangerous? Are you safe or are you dangerous? And you don't have to try to think that. That's what your brain's going to think for you. You're always wondering, is this person safe or is this person dangerous? And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus, who is God in the flesh, and says, you know, I think you're safe. I think maybe you're going to be okay. I think I can come to you. But what's interesting is he comes in the night. Well, why does he come in the night? Well, because everybody else isn't real cool with Jesus yet. And so he's got to keep this on the down low. But Nicodemus takes that risk to go at night, and not only to risk himself, but he's got some friends who have put him up to this and said, hey, go find out some stuff about this Jesus. Because he says, many of us, there are some of us, we think maybe you're from God. And then Jesus responds to his question, I think you're from God because I've seen you do some cool stuff. Jesus' response is, maybe you don't see. Maybe you don't see like God wants you to see. You see, Jesus went straight to, how are you even looking for God? Are you looking for God because you get healed from something? Are you looking for God because you get that parking lot space at Walmart that's really, really cool? What is it that you're waiting for to happen externally outside in your world that you can go, hey, yeah, I think God's at work? And then are you looking outside and not looking within? Because Jesus says, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And then Nicodemus responds just like you and I would probably respond. And he says, how can someone be born when they are old? How can someone be born when they're old? Isn't this a good question? Wouldn't we? Raise your hand if you would ask the same question. Well, of course, we would ask that question, wouldn't we? And Nicodemus asks, surely they cannot enter a second time in your mother's womb and be born. In other words, this doesn't make any external human nature, physical flesh sense. This doesn't add up. What you're saying doesn't add up. Because Nicodemus's lens by which he sees the spiritual realm is mostly been caught up in religious structures and forms. Do you go to the right place on the right day and say the right words and sit in the right kind of pews, or do you sit on the floor? Do you have electricity and speakers and guitars, or do you have a building, or do you have Sunday school, or do you drink the communion in one cup or in 150 cups? See, all of the external things is what we get preoccupied with. And Jesus says, you got to get a new lens, buddy. You need a new lens. You need to be born again, born anew. You need a new, fresh lens by which to see God. So whenever Nicodemus says, well, I don't see how that makes sense. How can I be born again? I'm an old man. And Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, and he repeats the words he just said. He says, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the Spirit. And then he says, flesh, which is our human nature, it's our human fleshly nature. He says, your fleshly nature gives birth to flesh. In other words, if all you think about is external things and not the heart, then you're going to be preoccupied with external things. And it's just going to be limited to external. But when you see God and you know God shows up with you internally, that's a whole different perspective. It says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying that you must be born again. For the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, and you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is even with those who are born of the Spirit of God. You see what Jesus is saying is God is really, 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 really big. And God can go anywhere. And God can choose to live in you. And then all of a sudden, it's not about your day going the way you want it to that you see God, but you find God in the midst of your pain and your suffering and your difficulty when your day goes terrible. Our statement of faith is not supported because everything externally works out the way we want it to. Our statement of faith is despite our external circumstances, our God dwells within us and lives in us. And that's a new frame. Most religions focus on externals. How did you bow? How do you lift your hand? Or should you sit on your hand? Should you read your scriptures in a closet? Should you testify on the street corners? I mean, there's all kinds of things we get preoccupied with. And those things are important subjects. But they are not the most important subject. The most important subject is that which happens within. And Nicodemus is not thinking about that. And then Nicodemus asks, well, how can this be? How can this be? This makes no sense. Well, why does it not make sense to him? Because he's had his head stuck in a book, reading the words, looking at the pages. And praise God for people who study the book and read the words on the page. But if it's not more than that, it doesn't live in within you. It's just something you study when you open the book. And then the power of the word is only as powerful as your ability to open up the book. And that is not what God has given us through Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, Nicodemus, he says, verse 10, you are Israel's teacher. Ouch. You're Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things? Wow, you're one of the guys that's leading this whole nation. You're one of the leaders of this whole nation, leading them to God. And you don't get this. You don't get that the power of God is that he is everywhere, all the time, and eager to indwell you within. That there is a relationship that is bigger than holding a status as preacher or as rabbi You see, Nicodemus comes saying, you know, I'm thinking that maybe you're a cool rabbi. Maybe we'll accept you as a Jewish rabbi. Maybe you're going to fit in our box. And Jesus is, if you want to know what it's like to live in the kingdom of God, you got to get your head out of that box. You got, because God ain't in no box. God don't need no box. Whether you make that box your church building or you make that box your five or six lists of to-dos, it's more about you knowing and receiving the transforming power of the indwelling of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He says, you don't even understand what you're teaching. Verse 11, very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. Now how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? How can I talk to you, Nicodemus, about the true picture of the kingdom of heaven when you are caught up and preoccupied with whether or not you and your committee are going to approve me as a true rabbi? That's what this story is about. It is about segregation within the world of religion. And Nicodemus likes what he's hearing about Jesus. He comes to Jesus and says, hey, you know, maybe some of us are thinking you're in. I don't need you to tell me I'm in, brother. I don't need you to tell me I'm in, sister. I'm in because God said I'm in. I don't need you to tell me I'm added to the church. I don't need you to tell me that I'm somebody in the eyes of Jesus because God's already told me I'm somebody in the eyes of Jesus. But as humans, we cannot get away from our need to get everybody to like us and all these people outside of us to approve us and give us a thumbs up and give us some applause and tell us that we matter. When the God of the universe who gives life to the stars abides in your bones and in your soul and in your being, and you want me to tell you you're okay. Let's go to the next slide. You see, what Jesus is talking about here is, let's go back to the one before that. There should be one before that. No? Okay. Never mind. Let's go to the other one. There it is. Woohoo. Remember this movie? Little boy wants to grow up. All you little guys, if you're 10, 11, 12, 9, 6, I know that you really think that it's going to be really cool when you get to be mom and dad and boss. I know. I was there once. Long ago, in the days where everything was black and white. You know, there was no color television. No cell phones. And I thought, Craig, if I was just in charge, this world would be a better place. And then I became an adult. And I realized, hey, this isn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. It's a lot of work, a lot of worry, a lot of stress. With power comes great responsibility. So this movie about getting big is this idea of we're little, we want to get big. If we're big, we can do whatever we want. And it's a really funny little story about it's not all it's cracked up to be. Let's go to the next slide. So you see, Nicodemus is preoccupied with getting big. And he's preoccupied like all of us are. Nicodemus isn't a bad guy. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. He loves God. He's trying to figure all this out. And Nicodemus thinks just like you and I think. Because we're always thinking, well, if we just got a little bigger, if we just got a little smarter, if we just got a little prettier, if we just got a little more powerful, in other words, we could just get bigger, then things would be okay. And Jesus says, no, not really. Because you're already too big for your britches as it is. You need to get little. You need to get little. You need to be born again. You need to see life through the eyes of an infant who needs to be taken care of by an omnipotent, all-knowing, loving God. And that will change the lens by which you see life. Because see, when you become little, then when you see someone else who's too big for their britches, then you can join them with compassion that you totally know what that's like. Because sometimes you want to be too big for your britches. And you think if you were just bigger and smarter and stronger, that you would get the respect you deserve and life would be better. And God is saying, I'm here right now. And the reason you see me as little as you see me is because you are in your own way. And you need to get little. You need to get little. You must be born again. Now, Nicodemus hears this and he says, how can I get really, really, really tiny and so small that I can crawl back in my mother's womb and be born again? You see how he's not thinking at all. He doesn't see through the lens of internal divine indwelling. Because for Nicodemus, God's way out there somewhere on some cloud. And God will not come near you until you get everything done right. Until you do everything externally the right way. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? That they were like a cup. Remember the cup illustration Jesus gave? That we humans, that we're like a cup and we look so clean on the outside. We are sparkling. We're so sanitary on the outside. But inside of the cup, it's like that cup of coffee, you know, you left in the back seat of your car for about a month. And it's growing, you know, probably the answer to cancer, right, in that cup. Someone should do some research on that. I may have some in my car today. You can take a sample, right? Jesus says, you know, you're so preoccupied with looking pretty. You're so preoccupied with the culture and your community and your religious people, your family saying, well, you're cool. We like you. We think we'll let you in. We're so preoccupied with being accepted externally that we not, are not often at peace that God is with us every moment of every breath of every day of our life. Let's go to the next slide. So this is what happens for us. We are human. We have a human nature. We have flesh. We are carnal. We have that. It's a part of us being human. God made us that way. But God also has given us the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit so that God can come in and illuminate and inspire that humanity and bring it to its fulfillment and transform us into what God wants us to be. Which doesn't mean we need to get bigger and have more titles and have our face on more covers of magazines. That's not going to particularly bring us peace. But our humanity is growing and the structure of our culture. See, when you're a baby and you're getting fed by your mama or your daddy or your grandma, then you can't wait until you can get on your feet and you can go to the cupboard and you can get cookies whenever you want. You don't want to stay infantile. You want to go get your cookies. You want to get what you want when you want it. So you want to have mobility. So we are driven and wired to grow and to get bigger. And so we get bigger and then we start to run around and hang out and play games. But we're not satisfied with the game that we have to play. We want to know a new game, right? It's like you go to Disneyland and you ride your favorite roller coaster once and then you ride it again. And then the third time you're like, you know, it's not so fun. Where's the bigger roller coaster? This one's boring. Because we, in our humanity, are constantly desiring more, faster, bigger. We want it to taste better. And that is, we're going to fight with that as long as we are on this side of eternity. This is a conflict all humans have within them, and we're going to struggle with that. But praise God, God has given us help with that through the Spirit. Let's go to the next slide. So this is some imagery I created for you to be able to get this idea of getting little. And that doesn't mean that you have to somehow shrink yourself down to your size when you were 1 year old. See, you want this process to be happening in your internal lens. This needs to change the way you see everything. Jesus invites us to have eyes to see God as God is, not to see God as what men and women have told us about God. Stephen was stoned to death and murdered because he taught God's people, the Jewish people, he taught them in his last sermon as he was killed, God doesn't need a house. And that got him killed. Well, why did they kill him? Because they were so afraid of that idea. Because, see, if they had the corner on the gospel, if they had the corner on truth, and they had the corner on the temple, and they had the corner on the special city, are we still seeing people at war today in Israel over a holy space? And you know what? that space is holy, because when a believer goes and lays down before God in that space, it's holy. But it is not more holy than 2424 South Mill Avenue. It is not more holy than some little village where there's a church meeting on a river in Africa. But people will kill each other over that building because they do not hear the words of Christ to Nicodemus. If the world is to be changed, we are to be born again, which means I must lay down my crown. I must lay down my degrees. I must lay down my pride. I must lay down my title. I must lay down all the things the world tells me that makes me who I am. And I am just a baby in the arms of God. Amen. And it's a struggle we all have, isn't it? Just to be God's little baby. Just to be new every day. Instead of thinking we know everything, to just know that we know God who knows everything. It doesn't mean you don't have competence and confidence in your faith, but your faith is less in structure and form and what you do, and your faith is in God who is at work doing in you the good and beautiful things that you see in your life. So, why do I have a pie? Because we're gonna auction this off to help pay the budget this week. No, just kidding. So let's say that you're at a pie contest. And let's say that you're the judge. And there's lemon, and there's lime, and there's watermelon rind. And there's one that looks like fudge. Well, to know which pie's the best, you can't just eat the crust. In order to complete the test, you hear that? A bite of filling is a must. Inside, it's the most important part. Inside, that's the place we've got to start. Inside, that's where you find the heart of the matter. It's inside. And there is something beautiful and amazing and eternal and divine happening inside of you today. And if you don't know that peace, if you don't know that transformational power, we invite you to come believe Jesus Christ is the answer to all the world's darkness, and that you can confess his name and be baptized into Jesus, and you can have all your sins washed away. You can know what it means to be redeemed and transformed, and you will join a group of people who struggle in this battle, in this church and in every church together. We will seek to turn ourselves over, our pride and our lens of self-control and power, and we will let God be God, and we will surrender to him. Come if you have any needs as we stand. See you.